Good morning. I'd like to greet you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ with the words out of Galatians 1:3. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to extend a hearty welcome to each and every one of you that have assembled here this morning. For those that are tuning in via media, welcome. It is indeed a joy and a blessing to be able to come and share God's word with you this morning. Today being Preparation Sunday, our message will focus on examining ourselves, preparing our hearts to participate in communion. Let us pray before we go on. Gracious God and Father, we come before your throne of grace, and Lord, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you, Lord, for salvation so full and so free, for being willing to go the way of the cross, and taking our sin upon yourself and dying there in our stead. Thank you, Lord, for your resurrection on the third day, giving us victory that alone comes through accepting you as Lord and Savior. Lord, I thank you for each heart that you have stirred and brought out this morning. Thank you for each one that is tuning in. Thank you, Lord, for touching each heart. And I just pray, Lord, as that I open your word, that I will be open to your Spirit's leading, and that what is spoken will encourage us, admonish us, and Lord, above all, that you will be honored and glorified. Lord, we ask for a hedge of protection around us, ward off Satan and his forces that so often want to distract and disturb as we worship you. Lord, bless each one that has a part in this service. Bless each one in the congregation. We commit ourselves to you. Guide and lead us, Lord, we pray in your holy name. Amen. This time we have some congregational singing, please.
Number 126, Red Hymnal. And we invite you to stand if you feel like it.
Thank you. Mine eyes I see, and Jesus.
thank you for that beautiful singing. And I maybe forgot to mention in my opening comments that my name is Pastor Art Wiebe, my wife Kathy. We came out from Winkler this morning, and it is indeed a joy to come share God's word with you. I've entitled the message this morning, Self-Examination. And when we turn to the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 13 and in verse 5, it says, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith, proving your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates." You know, if you're as guilty of sometimes judging others as I am, I think then all of us stand guilty before Christ. And God's word very clearly encourages us to examine oneself. You know, it is interesting as we live through life how sometimes some of the things that we struggle with, and when others do the same thing, it really bugs me. You know, I don't know why it is that way, and it is so easy to sometimes pass some kind of judgment or have thoughts, and we might never verbalize them to anyone else, but things that we sort of carry in our own hearts. And reality is, God's word says, look into your own heart. Don't look at the faults of others, but examine yourselves. Know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you. We need to realize who is dwelling in our heart, soul, and mind. It is Jesus Christ. We've accepted him as Lord and Savior. And the message this morning is directed very, very much so at us as Christians. For the unbeliever, those that haven't made a commitment to Jesus Christ, they do not participate in communion in our church setting. So this is looking at our own self as a Christian. How is my relationship with Jesus? Do I reflect Jesus in my everyday speech, my everyday conduct, wherever I am? When others observe me, do they see Jesus? It's a burning question that all of us have to answer for ourselves. And as Christians, when you look at the word Christian, the first part of that word says Christ. It means we're following the example of Christ. We live out what he has left behind for us, his example to follow. And if we turn further in the New Testament to the book of James, in chapter 1, verse 22 to verse 25, it says, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed." You know, James is really pointing out, don't just come to church, listen to the word, go home and do nothing with what you have heard. We are to apply into our lives the encouragement, the admonition that we receive in God's house. In God's house is important, but remember, this is 1 hour a week that we set aside to worship. God should be speaking to us 7 days a week, every day of our lives. And that is why it is so important to begin the day in a word of prayer, in the reading of God's word, and allowing him to help us start our day, and turning to him throughout the day. And as our conscience reminds us of things that might be wrong, it is the Holy Spirit speaking to us, let's do better with the Lord's help. This isn't a road that we walk on our own, but with Christ's presence in our lives, it is possible to live a life that honors him. And he says, if you just listen to the word and don't apply it to your life, it's like looking in a mirror, you see the mess in your face, you turn around and walk away. Don't do anything about it. Generally, when we look in a mirror, it's for a reason. We want to see if our hair is in place, if our face is dirty, whatever it might be. And we wash up, we comb, and we walk away looking better than we did before we looked in the mirror. And that is what we want to do this morning. As God's word is opened, we want to look in the mirror of God's word. And if there's things in our life that we need to work with, Let's clean him up. Let's walk away a better individual. And he says, for if we behold ourselves and forget what manner we was, you know, in other words, what good is that? But he says, if we look into the perfect law of liberty, you know, looking into God's word, into his direction isn't something that binds us. It is a free life in reality. You know, the non-Christian sometimes looks at Christianity and they might make comments, well, that life looks boring. It's a bunch of don't do this and don't do that and do such, and the list goes on. And yet in reality, we are a free individual. Christianity is not a binding life. It is not a life that restricts us, because our desires change. The things that give us joy changes, and the list goes on. It is a true life of freedom. And if we apply this work to, or God's word to us, he says, we will be blessed. You know, and as we read throughout God's word, so often it gives us instruction, and it says, you know, if you do so and so, you will be a blessed person. And we not avoid or look at that as a lot of rules and regulations, but it just points out, when we love the Lord, when we please him, we are blessed. And to be blessed means to be at peace. It means a relationship with the one that gave his life, that you and I can have real life. Turning into the Old Testament now, in Psalm 139, I'd like to look at the first five verses. And where the psalmist says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. You know, the psalmist, he realized that God sees, hears, knows everything. Every little detail about you and me. His ways are way beyond our standing, understanding. And when we stop and ponder that just for a moment, and what I said earlier, how sometimes we might have thoughts that we don't verbalize, which is important. We don't if they're negative, but God knows those very thoughts. And that is why that we take account, if we harbor these thoughts, that we ask for forgiveness. You know, the thoughts that cross our mind, you and I can't necessarily control. It'll be things we see, we hear, whatever, that often causes certain thoughts. But if these thoughts are negative, not honoring God, we have a choice to make. Will I ponder this? Will I fantasize about this? Will I daydream about it and just sort of let those things dwell in my mind until, before we even want to, we're acting out on some of the things that are not Christ-like? So that is why it is so important to realize God knows the very thoughts. And if there's things that we are ashamed of in our thought life, ask God to help us to think and focus on things that bring honor and glory to him. And then in that same chapter of Psalm 139, in verse 23 and 24, the psalmist says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, it's a beautiful prayer to say to the Lord, search my heart. Reveal to me where I'm falling short, and my thought life, try it. And if there's wickedness in me, he says, lead me away from that. Lead me in the everlasting way. Lead me in the way of Christ. And then coming back into the New Testament, into the book of 1 Corinthians, a very familiar passage as we prepare for communion, in chapter 11, verse 28 through verse 32, where the apostle Paul writes to the church of Corinth, and he says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh damnation, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Again, reaffirming self-examination. Before we participate in communion, we should not take this lightly and just do it out of habit or because the church offers it. There should be a deep, heartfelt desire to commune with the Lord in a special way as we remind ourselves of Jesus' suffering and death. His broken body, his spilt blood was what provided salvation for each of us. But he says, because many of you are doing this and not really giving an honor or a regard to what the Lord has done for you, there's many of you that are weak and sickly. And he says, many sleep. You know, if we continuously live in sin and don't take account of our lives, it can affect us physically, emotionally, and it can lead to what we might say a premature death when he talks about many of you sleep. You know, unhealthy lifestyles, and I'm not talking about the foods we eat and the things that we do, but an unhealthy lifestyle spiritually, living without the Lord, ignoring his love for us and his guidelines, and living to please and honor him, very often leads to a life where people destroy themselves physically, emotionally, and very often these things lead to an early death. And he says, if you would look at yourselves, or it says, judge yourself, you know, do it in such a way that in the day when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you will not need to fear judgment. In other words, examine. And if there's sin, clean it up. And he says that we will not suffer the same condemnation that the non-Christian or the world will face someday. To be sent on the left-hand side of God to eternal damnation in hell. You know, praise be to Jesus that he was willing to rescue you and me. Praise be to God that those of us that have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, we have nothing to fear, even though we should pass on from this world into eternity. We have the glory of Jesus waiting for us. In the book of Galatians, in chapter 6, I'd like to pick up in verse 4 and in verse 5. Again, just restating what I've been saying all along. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. You know, in a nutshell, these verses teach us, I don't need to give account for your sin, neither do you give account for the sin in my life. You know, it's between you and Jesus. It's between me and Jesus that we have to make things right. I might not know your struggles. You don't know my struggles. But reality is, when we stand before Jesus, he knows the very depths of your heart, your mind, your soul, your desires. And if there's stuff there that sort of makes us uncomfortable, let's clean it up. Let's be in a good relationship. Let's have a relationship with Jesus that is free of guilt and willful sin. Will we mess up? Absolutely. But when we realize that we've made a mistake, we confess and ask God's forgiveness. Then in the same chapter of Galatians 6, in verse 7 and 8, we're just reminded, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You know, you can deceive me, you can deceive others, you can keep a secret from your spouse, you can keep a secret from a close friend, you can hide many things in your lives. But what goes on between you and God, that is open. He sees, he hears everything. And if we sow to the flesh, if we continuously live in sin, whether it's secretly or openly, we will reap corruption. We can't deceive God. We might be able to deceive others, but before God, everything is open. So then he says, you know, don't give up. Sow to the Spirit. Work with God's word. Allow it to fill your heart, your soul, your mind. And he says, you will reap life everlasting. Again, you know, if you do this, then the blessings will come. So wonderful how God works in our lives. In the book of 1 John, in chapter 1, and in verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, with the things I've just said, it can so easily be looked on as, you know, maybe a bleak and a dark outlook in life. But here we're reassured. If you or I confess our shortcomings, ask God's forgiveness, he says he is faithful and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it is so important to give ourselves totally to the Lord. In the Old Testament, again, in the book of Lamentations, in chapter 3 and in verse 40, it says, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord." You know, if you or I search in our hearts, in our lives, and we prove our ways or try our ways up against God's word, and he says, turn again to the Lord. You know, don't turn to despair because you feel so badly about yourself. You know, we're not all wired in the same way. We don't all have the same emotions. You know, and sometimes some individuals, when they look at their own lives, they're very critical of themselves and they don't give themselves any chance for error. You know, and we will all make mistakes. And when we make mistakes, don't just be hard on yourself and turn to despair and discouragement, but rather turn to the Lord. He's the one that will bless you. He's the one who will restore the peace and the comfort that he wants for each of us. In the book of Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 6 and 7, just again encourages us. And he says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto man. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You know, in today's language might say, don't worry, don't fret, don't get so caught up with the concerns of life. But he says, in everything, bring it to the Lord in prayer. And supplication, don't just give up. And he says, pray continuously. Thank the Lord. Let your requests be made known unto God. And we have the promise that if we bring this to the Lord, in verse 7, he says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, God's peace, which is deeper than you and I can with our human minds and mouth ever explain, will keep your hearts through Christ Jesus. He is the one that truly gives us comfort and inner peace. When I speak about worrying, you know, my mother passed away about 4.5 years ago, and this is in no way or form a negative slam on her whatsoever. But she has, at a few different times, she would say, you know, as a mom, I have a right to worry. You know, and I very strongly disagreed with that. I never spoke it very openly out of respect to Mom. And sometimes looking back, I wish I had maybe been a little bit braver and shown her God's word that we don't need to worry. But then on the other hand, I highly respect and regard her mother heart. And I think we as men often don't understand how mothers are burdened with love and concern when their children err in some areas of their lives. They want them to come back to Jesus. They want to have their children live life for Christ and that they too will die saved someday. You know, and for her generation, you know, the word worry was maybe often used instead of a deep concern, a deep desire for her children to turn to the Lord. So, for all of us, let's not worry, but let's bring our concerns to Jesus. He hears, he knows the deepest desires of our hearts, and he's the only one that can burden or lighten the burden, even if we are deeply concerned. In the book of Galatians, in chapter 5, in verse 22 and 23, maybe a little bit of a shift here, but it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. You know, the might say the byproducts of a life lived for Christ. And when we are committed to Jesus, these are things that others will see in us And he says the fruit of the Spirit, you know, the life of a life for Christ is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You know, were these fruits of the Spirit written in a certain order for a reason? I'm not sure. But if we just think of the way they're written here, he says one of the first one is love. You know, without love, all these other things, you know, good people can do some of these things, but it's like Paul says, without love, it's like a tingling cymbal. It's you hear it or see it for a bit, and it's gone. So when we live for Christ, our love for others, our love for Christ is the utmost important thing. And when we love Christ, we have joy in the depths of our heart, soul, and mind. You know, and when I see the word joy, it reminds me of years ago when our young children were at home and we had devotions around the family or around the supper table. And we would often read these booklets that are called Keys for Kids. And I think they're still available to this day. And I remember the acronym for joy. Number one, J is for Jesus. You know, if he's the first thing in your life, then next, O, it's for others, those around you. You love on them the way Jesus loved on you. And then Y is for yourself. You know, it's the last word in the word or letter in the word joy, but yourself. You know, if we love Jesus, we love others, you know, others will love us, and we don't really need to be all that concerned about ourselves. And then when we have love and joy in our lives, it brings about an inner peace that is often so difficult to describe. And when we have this peace within us, we're patient or long-suffering with those around us. We're patient when we are tried for various things in our lives. And as a patient individual, we become gentle beings. We're not harsh or rude, but we want what's best for others, and we love on them. We're gentle with them. We give them a chance. And as we're gentle, goodness and faith, they just flow out of us. And as a faithful individual, we're meek or we're humble. We're temperate. We're not, you know, easily upset, but we allow Christ to guide and to lead us. And then he simply says, against such, there's no law. You know, there's nothing, if you do this type of lifestyle and you live out Jesus in your heart, there is no one that's going to take that away from you. There's no law that's going to condemn you. You will be at peace with your family. You'll be at peace with your community, your co-workers, and the list goes on. You will have a relationship that is Christ-honoring. Will it always be easy? No. But there will be peace when we live out Christ's presence in our lives. In 1 Corinthians, in chapter 6, in verse 19 and verse 20, Paul just starts off with one word question. What? You know, in other words, you know, stop and think about this for a bit. And he's saying, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, it's maybe a simple reminder. Remember at all times, Jesus lives in your heart and soul. And your soul at this time lives within the physical body that each of us has. And we are to remember what it cost Jesus. He allowed his physical body to be beaten, to be bruised, to be sacrificed, his blood to be spilt, that you and I could have spiritual life. And that we can honor and glorify God in everything, in our being, and then the way we serve him. And then in Romans, in chapter 8, verse 1, where Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know, as a Christian, there's nothing that's going to condemn us. Yes, we will make mistakes, but we don't allow them to take control of our lives. And we serve the Lord. We don't walk after the old sinful desires, but we follow the Spirit of Jesus Christ that lives within us. In the book of Titus, in chapter 3, and verse 5 to verse 7, just a reminder, where we read, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Christ, Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Just a reminder, it is no amount of good work that you and I will do that we will receive salvation or God's mercy because of that. It is alone through what Jesus did for us and us accepting that gift that we have salvation. We are justified, or we are made right by God's grace. And through God's grace, we will inherit what Christ has prepared for us. We have a lively hope. We have the assurance of knowing that when my or your physical body dies, we have eternal life with Jesus in heaven. And then coming to the book of John in chapter 8, we have the story of a woman that was caught in adultery. And we might say the religious people of Jesus' day, they took her to Jesus. And you know, and their law said, condemn her. She's to be stoned. And they took her to Jesus. And part of the thing was they wanted to see how Jesus would react or respond to someone caught in sin, the sin of adultery. And the first answer that Jesus gives is in verse 7. He says to them that accuse her, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. He turned back on the people that were self-righteous. And he says, throw the stone if you're without sin. And it sort of seems like Jesus ignores her and the rest of the people. He bends over and we don't know what he wrote, but he wrote something with his finger in the dust of the ground. You know, and these men that were condemning her, one after the other, they walked out. And then after a bit, Jesus sees this woman standing there all alone. And he says, you know, has nobody condemned you? And she says, no. And then Jesus says, woman, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You know, the beautiful lesson that is here for you and me is we might commit sin. We might get caught. But when we come to Jesus, he doesn't condemn us. He doesn't say, you've stepped over the line. You're going to hell irregardless. No, he forgives and he says, go and sin no more. In other words, don't step back into this sin willfully. Serve the Lord. You know, that's such a beautiful lesson, such an encouragement for all of us. We need to leave sin behind us. We need to follow Jesus. He's not there to condemn us, and neither should we condemn others. In Deuteronomy 4:9, it says, take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. You know, take account of your life. Look at it earnestly. Where am I at? Let's not get so concerned about where others are at with Jesus, but where are you and I? In the Acts chapter 2, and in verse 38, you know, this was a time of the first Pentecost. Peter and his fellow apostles had preached mightily. The people, their conscience bothered them, and they asked the question, what are we supposed to do? And what was Peter's answer? Repent and be baptized. You know, you and I, we've all messed up at one time or another. We've committed a sin that we might think sort of went over the line. But repent. Be sorry. You know, if we study the word repent or repentance, it means more than just being sorry, but it also means changing our ways because we have lived in sin. It means to, with the Lord's help, try not to repeat the same sin. So There's a promise in this verse, and we'll read through the verse. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repent. Confess your sin to Jesus. He will forgive you, and he will give you the gift of the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost lives within us, we are at peace. We're in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then lastly this morning, I'd like to turn to the book of Psalm 34, picking up in verse 17 to verse 22. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Let's reread verse 22. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants. You know, that's you and me as Christians. And he says, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. When we place our trust in Jesus, we have the assurance of eternal life. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before your throne of grace at the conclusion of our service this morning, and we thank you for your mercy, your grace that you pour out upon us every day of our life. We thank you for not being one that condemns us, but one that forgives us when we come to you and ask for forgiveness of sin. Thank you, Jesus, for your willingness to go the way of the cross. Thank you for the peace and the inner joy that you grant each of us. And Lord, I pray for each and every one that is gathered here today or that is listening to this service. Give them your peace. Give them your comfort. May they feel your presence. May your Holy Spirit just continue to live in their hearts and their souls, and that they will know and be rest assured that when their physical life is done, they have eternal life with you in heaven. Lord, bless and keep us all. We pray in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. For any other concerns that are on your heart, remember, we can come before God's throne of grace at any time, wherever we are. And for those that are able, I want to give you the opportunity. Please kneel with me for a time of silent prayer. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our many prayers. Amen. This time, Deacon Jake will have some announcements, please.
Good morning. I just want to remind you that the communion in the English one will be on August the 18th at 7:30, and the German one on August the 19th at 7:30. Thank you.
Thank you, Jake. We have come to the conclusion of our service this morning. I want to thank you for your prayer support. It is felt, and may God bless you for that. Let us bow for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. You may now go in the peace of our Lord.